Amen. Praise God. It's good to be here this morning. Is anybody glad to be in God's house this morning? Let's clap. Praise God. It's so good to be back here today. Patricia and I have talked about this a lot. We prayed about it, and we just sought God about it, and just so thankful to be here today. And as Brother Denny mentioned, we're just coming off of a time up at Henniger, figure out how to get this thing back on, upside down. I'm somewhat technically challenged, but we'll get it together in a minute. But we've been up at Henniger this weekend with Brother Roger Graham. We went up Friday afternoon, set up, and got there and started what we call a Share Your Faith workshop. And we had 22 to go through it. And it was wonderful. It was wonderful. We finished yesterday, started yesterday morning at 8 o'clock. Our trainers came from Birmingham. We had, I think, 9 trainers all together, 8, 9, whatever it was. Anyway, we went out in the neighborhood. We made, 18 attempts. We shared the gospel with 14, and 2 prayed to receive Christ. And 4 prayed for assurance and church. That is what we're about. We are to be there, okay? Our primary goal as a church is to do this. We'll talk about it a whole bunch, and I'm not going to steal any of my thunder, but I just want you to know what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about what is our responsibility, according to Scripture, to speak the name of Christ unto the world. And, of course, before I do that, and I've said before, I like to kind of qualify. Somebody gets in front of me and starts talking. The first thing I want to know, what right do you have to be there? Well, the only right I have is as a born-again believer of Jesus Christ, called to deliver a message, a proclaimer of the Word. I came to Christ in September of 1976, I have to think about it a minute, at an Army Induction Center. What a strange place to come to the Lord. But you know, Vietnam was wide open. My first cousin had just been killed 2 weeks before. And the folks, I'm going to tell you something, I was scared to death. I was terrified. Got on that bus, Greyhound bus, and went down to Montgomery with about 40 other young men and got down there. There were 650 there. And those big old guys, they had us running here, running there, and after about 3 days, I was sure enough afraid. And I noticed there's one guy over here, he wasn't afraid at all. And I went to him, I said, "Boy, what's wrong with you?" He said, "What you mean?" I said, "I'm scared to death." He said, "Of what?" I said, "Well, you know, there's a thing over there called Vietnam, and I'm afraid to die." He said, "Well, I'm not afraid to die. I'm a Christian." I said, "Man, I'm a Christian. I've been in church all my life. My mom and daddy, I mean, we've been there. I'm one of those drug children. I drugged the church." And a better incentive than that, the one thing my daddy would let us get out of the hoeing corn or picking peas or whatever it was to be in church. I love church. My brother and I, we love church. There was 8 of us children. We learned to love church at an early age. And something was going on. Oh, daddy, we got MYF. I was born and raised in the Methodist church. Okay? But I went down there to that thing, and I was scared to death, and this boy said, "I'm a Christian." I said, "How? I'm a Christian." He said, no, wait a minute. I mean, I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I said, "What?" And I'm please understand, I'm sure the little ladies and the guys and the preacher, they all said that 100 times, but you know what? I never heard it. We can hear the Word of God continually, but we kind of block it out because truly we probably don't want to hear it. Most of us don't want to hear what we're doing wrong, you know? And we want to do it our way. And Scripture says, you know that hearing, you know, it comes by the Word of God. But I never heard it, but I heard it that day. I got down on my knees behind a pile of pulp and asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart. Things went great for a while. Then they went down. Then they went up. Then they down. At about 40 years of age, I was down. My wife and I were down in Gulf Shores, a little vacation. My first wife and I were married for 40 years. She passed away. Patricia and I have been married for about 10. Soon, I get somewhere close. Anyway, oh, by the way, if you need a husband or wife, ChristianMingle.com, just go in there and put you in order. It worked for me. That's all I can say. Praise God, it worked for me. She was in Cedartown, Georgia. I'm in Childersburg, Alabama. Odds are we never would have got together. But you know what? I put this in that little, you fill out a little profile, they call it. And I put in there one thing that I wanted folks to understand. If you're not willing to die for Jesus Christ, do not answer this. Because I knew then and I know now, we're going to be somewhere. And it might be we've been to Africa, we've been to, oh gosh, we've been all over. Belize, praise God. That's what we want to do. Right now we're called as missionaries to the state of Alabama, to the church. And what we did yesterday is what we're going to do this next week. And we're going to come in and we're going to talk and we're going to stir things up and we're going to praise God for the increase. And we want to see a culture of evangelism and outreach developed in this church, because you have to be purposeful. It has to be intentional. It has to be a desire of the heart. You know, the one thing that struck me yesterday when we had our reporting back session, three of the deacons of that church stood up and wept for the lost. When's the last time you wept for those around you, for your family members that are lost and dying and going to hell? Hell is real. And if we love them, we will be willing to be thought a fool, because the world will oppose you because they don't want to hear it. There's no doubt about that. They don't want to hear it. But I do know this. This is what we're commanded to do. It's not a suggestion. We are to make disciples. And there's thousands, hundreds and thousands of people out there that will never come into this church under any circumstances. We've got to go out there where they are. We've got to come up with ways to get them in here, things to do to invite them. You know, I was talking about going to church. I was in a little church there, and we had a good old-fashioned church split. I got out of church, and I said to myself, I'm done with that. I'll never go back there and be around those people. And a lady came knocking on my door. She said, my name's Carolyn Hill. I'm from Knollwood Presbyterian Church, and we're going to have a vacation Bible school right down here. And I notice you've got some children here, and there's some children in this trailer park where we were living. Would you be willing for me to come by and pick up your children and take them to vacation Bible school? And I said, nah, I don't think so. What kind of church? What are you talking about? She said, oh, we're Presbyterian. I said, what? I don't even know a Presbyterian. But y'all know the story. I went down there. I had to look at all the little things. It's amazing what you can make out of popsicle sticks. I'm serious. Does anybody, y'all remember what I'm talking about? You can make bowls, you can make churches, you can make houses, you can make little crosses, you can make little stick men, all kind of stuff out of popsicle sticks. It's amazing. So I got down there and met the people, liked the people. God spoke to my heart, started going to the church. About 8 or 10 years later, the Lord called me to go to seminary. I went the slow route, took me 22 years. Somebody asked me why it took me 22 years. I said, that's easy to answer, because I never quit. And if I hadn't finished when Patricia came into my life, odds are I'd still be going. Because it's what God called me to do, to go to seminary. Because in many circles, and especially in the Presbyterian Church, that's what opens the door to get you to get up and speak and get before God's people, because that was the desire of my heart. Now, this woman's a saint. She got up and went for 2 years. She and I got up every Wednesday morning. Let's see if I can remember it. Now, we got up at 4 o'clock, left at 5 o'clock, got there at 6 o'clock, went for 2 years to take Greek and Hebrew. That was tough. But praise God, she hung in there and we did it. But I'm excited to be here, and I'll hush about all that because praise God, we got a sermon to talk about here. But now, I've got right here, has everybody got a copy of this? If you hadn't, I want you to get one because this is talking about what we're going to do on a Friday, March the 12th, next weekend. It's $15. That includes the continental breakfast, the lunch, the materials, that's the deal. Doors are open at 5:30. The workshop begins at 6. And what we're going to talk about, we are going to work diligently to teach you how to share the gospel on your hand. Now, one thing we require people to do to come to this, if you're going to come to this, bring your hand. Okay? Bring it. Heaven is a free gift. It's not earned or deserved. Man is a sinner and can't save himself. God, the big guy in charge of everything, created heaven and earth and all of it, recognized we had a problem. And what did he do? He sent his son, Jesus. There's a reason it's this finger. We are the bridegroom. We are the bride. He's the groom. Get it right. Okay? All right? What did he do? He died on the cross. He rose from the dead, paid the penalty for our sin, and purchased a place in heaven that we receive by faith, the little guy, as a grain of mustard seed. Does this make sense to you? And there's a lot of stuff that goes with it, including two scriptures with every point. The idea of the hand is to keep you on track. Because if you're not careful, when you're under a little pressure there, you'll go off in a dozen different directions and you won't say the things you need to say, because please understand this, the Word of God is that which breaks the heart. It is that which brings men and women. It's not your performance. It's not your slick presentation. It's none of those things. It's the Word of God. And we go out there looking for men and women who want to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we have trainers that you go with and you observe, you watch, you see what they do, you see how they do it. Here's someone, real human flesh, doing it. And I know you'll be blessed, because God will build your church. And I'm telling you, the other thing it'll do, it'll draw you to himself. But I'm going to tell you another thing too, and I tell everybody that comes to one of these, if you don't believe the Bible is the inerrant Word of God, don't do this. You hear me? If you don't believe God's Word is the truth, don't do it, because that's what we stand on. That is the Word of God. It is the fact. It is a fact. Whew, I'll hush about that. All right, we've got a little outline here that goes with what we're going to talk about. And Brother Denny has read the scripture. So I'm going to set this thing down right there where I can see it. And I love the story. And the pastor said he used to always take his watch off and put it there. And one day, just end of the sermon, you know, he just reached and got his watch and put it on, and then reached and got it off and set it back down. A little boy sitting on the front, he said, "Oh, no, Daddy, is he going to start again?" So I hope we don't do that. Okay. Let's pray and let's get started. Oh, Father God, Lord, how pleased we are to be in your house with your people. Father, I pray now, Lord, anoint me, Father, your servant, Father, to speak your name, to encourage your people, Lord, to challenge, Lord. Lord, also, Father, to bring, Lord, your word to bear on our hearts, Father. Lord, I recognize, Lord, that I'm weak, Father. I am sinful. Lord, I am subject to say the wrong thing and do the wrong thing. But Lord God, I pray now, Lord, anoint me for your kingdom's sake. Amen. Amen. Flowers fade, leaves fall, men live, men die. The Word of God abides forever. By his mercy, by his grace, may it be preached for you. Amen. Number 16, we're going to read it verse by verse, and we're going to go through and we're going to talk about it. Number 16, Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. Why 11 disciples? Because Judas had gone to his reward. You follow me? There's 11 left. That's 10 plus 1. To the mountain. Which mountain? We don't know the exact mountain. No name is given. It's just a mountain that's in Galilee. And you can fill in the little blanks as you go if you need to. Praise God. Appointed them. Matthew 28:10. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren," that's the disciples, "to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." And here they are. They're in Galilee now. Number 17. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Isn't that amazing? Some doubted. Now Thomas, who is called a twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." And he said to them, "Unless I see his handprints of the nails, and put my fingers into the prints of the nails, and I put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. And Jesus came through the door and was shut and stood in the midst and said, "Peace to you." I'd probably need a little help with that. Peace to you. I need a little peace. Then he said to Thomas, "Reach your fingers here. Look at my hands and reach your hands here and put them into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but believing." And Thomas answered and said, "My Lord and my God." Now, can you imagine? Here they are. They're in a group. I want to paint the picture for you. They're in a group, and I'm sure they're kind of anxious. You know, where's Jesus? I hope he comes. Don't know where he is. Wonder where Jesus is. They're all in there. We saw him before. Where is he going to come back? They're in there. And guess what? Old Thomas is in there with them. And the minute he approached, boom, there he is. I'm sure Thomas looked over and said, "Oh, my gracious." Because I'm sure Thomas remembered exactly at that moment what he had said. And, you know, there's a lot of things. Think about this. There's a lot of things Jesus could have said. There's a lot of things Jesus could have done. If it had been me, I'd probably said, "Bruh." I'd made a crispy critter out of him. But the wonderful thing about Jesus, did you know he never did that? You know who he got down on? You know the ones that he really blasted? The religious. Those that pointed their nose up. The one that that would walk by the side of the road and let a man be lying and dying and never care. You understand? That's one thing. Those of us that preach the word and in churches and pastors, it's one thing we got to be very careful about, that we don't become churchmen. You know, "Hello, brother. How are you?" "Very well. Thank you." Look, the difference between myself and Brother Denny and y'all, God's called us to do this. That's it. We're the same infallible people, the same ones just like you. But the amazing thing, God chooses to use us. And you know, God chose to use Thomas also. Let's see what else happened. Number 29. Jesus said to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, who is he talking about? All of those since Jesus ascended that have believed his word. All of us, myself, Brother Denny, all of us that have believed, we have believed what? We believed his word as it was proclaimed. We didn't have to put our fingers in his side. We didn't have to hold the nail prints in his hand. Why? Because God Almighty gave us the faith to believe. And the faith is what? The little guy. The faith of the grain of mustard seed. It's not head knowledge. You know what? The demons knew there was a God. What did they say to him in the example of the Gadarene demoniac when Jesus was there speaking to him and he commanded them to come out? And they said, "Oh, Jesus Christ, Son of God, what have you to do with us before our time?" They knew where their time was and when it was going to be. And God, the creator of the universe, was there, and that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise his name. Praise his name. Number 18, and Jesus came and spoke to them all, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. All authority. All authority. I love that. How much is all? All. That's right. How much is all? All. We're all in. What does that mean? Everybody agreement. We're all here. You got me? All. How much is all? All is all. All right? And by the way, that term, let me say this. And I was watching, and I love this. This is in Daniel, from Daniel 7, 13, and 14. And this is Daniel. I was watching in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Now, that's an interesting term. It's used 69 times in the Synoptic Gospels. Now, Synoptic Gospel just basically means similar Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Similar, Synoptic. 69 times. Coming with the clouds of heaven, that's interesting too. When Jesus comes back for his people, from whence shall he come? The clouds. God comes in the clouds. All right? He came to the Ancient of Days. Who is that? God himself. And they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one and only, which shall not be destroyed. Every kingdom that you can name has passed in history. Look back, far back as you want to go. The Babylonians, the Phoenicians. Bring it a little bit further. The Romans, the Greek, bring it a little bit further. England, when in her might that she was and ruled the whole world, God brought them down. God brought them down. And you know, the way our country's going now, I don't think it's hard for us to imagine the direction that we're going today. Can you imagine the things that are being done today in the name of political correctness or whatever that might be? But this kingdom is God's kingdom, that which I hope and I pray you are a member of. And one day he will come in the clouds. He'll bust that eastern sky, and here he comes. Praise God, I hope he comes before I get through with this sermon. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go. Man, I tell you what, I'd even like for things to be like they were 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 20 years ago. Shucks, I can go back 50 and don't have any problem remembering that. But what in the world are we doing? And the reason it's gotten that way, because we have not spoken. We have not been involved. We are to blame. That's for sure. You can't blame. I heard a gentleman say it this morning, but Jeff, I believe, say it this morning, that you can't blame lost people for acting like lost people. Guess what? Before you came to Christ, how did you act? Like a lost person. Why? Because that's what you were. If you don't believe me, put 4 3-year-olds right there. 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, 4-year-olds, probably 15 years old. I don't know. Put 3-year-olds right out there. Give every one of them the exact same toy and let them play. Oh, the sweet little darlings. It won't be long. One of them will have 3 toys and will be banging the other 3 on top of the head with the toy. Why do they do that? Who teaches them that? You don't have to teach them. Mm-mm. You have to unteach them, because the world will do it for you. The world will do it for you. We are to be what? We are to be aware that his kingdom is the one, the only one. Number 19. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. What are we talking about? Go therefore. I love Mark 16. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Mark 16, 15, 16. The Lord God himself will send no man or woman to hell. The reason they go is because they have rejected, they have turned their back upon God. And how often do we see it in our families, in our friends, in our neighbors? And if the enemy has his way, you're next. He's got his sights on you. I guarantee you on that. This that we do, I'm telling you what, it's unbelievable the things that happen. I had about 10 trainers lined up, and on Thursday, one of my trainers, the one that I'd really depend on, in fact, he was at Briarwood Presbyterian Church for 40 years over the evangelism, and if you ever were to watch one of the presentations, he's the guy. And Bob called me and said, hey, he said, I'm feeling kind of down. I'm going to the doctor today. I don't know what's going on. He's out. Okay. I said, okay. All right. The next day, another one that we were counting on called me and said, hey, I've been sick. I'm not going to be able to come. I said, oh, okay. So now we're down to about, I think altogether we had 6 from Briarwood and Birmingham and surrounding area. But you know, here's the thing. God has to put in my heart a knowledge and an understanding. God's got this. Well, I mean, whether it's 1 or 21 or 22 or 97, it doesn't matter. This is God's business that we're doing. The number that he wants to have will be there. Does that mean I don't care? No. Does that mean I don't work diligently to get those to come that can do what we do? No. That's not what that means. What that means is I cannot curl up in a fetal position, lay down on the floor and cry and put my face to the wall because things don't go exactly the way I want them to go. If you don't know what adversity is, you never try to do anything, especially for the Lord, much less evangelism and outreach. Satan hates what we do. He does not want you to go outside this door. He does not want you to do this. And I'm going to tell you what. Those 3 deacons up there standing and weeping for the lost. Oh, praise God. That's where I want to be. And it doesn't matter to me. We go in Methodist, we go in Baptist, we go in Presbyterian, Assembly of God, Church of God. It doesn't matter to me. That's not what we're about. And when we go out, we're building the kingdom of God, not necessarily Wills Valley. Why? Because there's people out there that you couldn't hold a gun on them and make them come here. They say, oh, no, I'm Pentecostal. Oh, my mama's Pentecostal. Oh, praise God. Find you one and go to it. I mean, hey, we can't let the peripherals, because your theology is somewhat different. If you believe in the 5 points of the gospel, as far as I'm concerned, you are my brother and you are my sister. And I don't have the right to look down a pious and sanctimonious nose at you and think I'm better than you, because I know the absolute truth. That's not true, and that's what Satan wants me to believe. We were in a church last year, and a gentleman asked me, said, Brother Paul, while you were coming through town, did you happen to see who or look and think a little bit about who our target audience might be? Flew all over me. Target audience? I smiled and I said, well, I don't know. You know, when we come through town, there was about 7 Mexican restaurants. He looked at Mexican restaurants. I said, yeah. He said, well, what about some other? I said, oh, okay. All right, when I climbed up on the stairs, I looked over there in one direction there, and there was a trailer park, 10 acres. I said, man, That's a good place to go. And he said, tell you what, we'll get back with you. He's going to. He said he was. He's a preacher. But he hadn't. We don't have the right to choose. There's one race. Did you know that? And that's the human race. And if you got problems with witnessing to someone, or you look down on your nose at someone or the way they look or the way they're dressed, you need to get down on your knees and you need to pray that God will forgive you for your sin. Blatant sin and rebellion against God. God calls us to go ye therefore. Unto where? All the world. What does all include? All includes all. And it's the world. And what's out there in the world? All kinds. I never will forget. We were in Jasper, Alabama. We were in groups, you know, and group over here and group over there. And went up, knocked on the door, and a young man came to the door. And this has been about 4 years ago. My gracious. This dude had something, I don't know what it was, had something stuck up here in his, I kept looking at it trying to figure out what, I don't know what it was. I don't know, it had a ball on each end. And over here in this ear, there was a hole all the way around. I kept looking, trying to figure out what that was. And I'm sitting there looking at him thinking to myself, what am I doing? And God spoke to me and he said, you disobedient child. You do what I called you to do. I presented the gospel, and in less than 5 minutes, that man prayed to receive Christ. You hear what I'm talking about? What right do I have? Who am I? I'm not the judge. Neither are you. We need to get off of that if we want God to bless us. If you want God to bless this church, you welcome whomever comes through. I was in a church several years ago. I'd been out evangelizing, and it was in a urban area, and a lot of homeless people. Well, Patricia and I got out on the streets and got to going down to different places and bringing them back in. And Brother Danny, in about 3 or 4 months, pastor said to me, Brother Paul, I love you. And they gave me a key to the church. And we'd have our little get-togethers in there in the church, you know, and be nobody in there but Patricia and I and whomever we could snag out on the streets, bless their hearts. He said, Brother Paul, I said, I think you really need to find another church to be in. He said, it's just not working out. And I thought about that a minute, and I thought to myself, okay. And I shook the dust off my feet, and I went and found me a church that wanted the dregs of society in their church. That'll cost you. It'll cost you. It really will. But what are we to do? Go ye therefore unto all the world. What'd they say about Jesus? This man eats with sinners. Can you imagine what an offense that was in the Jewish society and the culture of that day? You didn't speak to them, much less eat with them. Need to think about that. We need to think. There's something about sharing a meal with someone. There really is. It'll build rapport. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a relational evangelism in which you build a rapport with someone that earns you the right to speak into their life about what the most important thing you can talk about when you're there is your testimony. You know why? It happened to you. No one can say that didn't happen to you. No one can deny it. It happened to you. It happened to you. Go therefore, go into all the world, preach the gospel, every creature, make disciples. Now, what is a disciple? A disciple is a learner, even as one who might enter an apprenticeship to become an electrician or a plumber. And what do? We obediently follow and serve Jesus as our master. If you want to know how to evangelize, follow the master. Why? Because he knows everything there is to know about relating to human beings. And we'll talk about that in the workshop too. We'll talk about that a bunch. It's a long-term commitment to learn to be devoted to Jesus. I love the story of the gentleman. A gentleman was a great speaker, an orator, and a theologian, and he's going into the concert hall, and he's fixing to give a rousing talk to all the people. And as he walks in, he looks in, he has to step over, and there's a gentleman, a man, lying in the gutter, drunk, out of his head. The gentleman got down and kind of got him up and brushed him off a little bit, and the poor old drunk just kind of come to him, looked at him, said, Oh, Dr. Smith, I'm one of yours. He said, it's obvious that you're one of mine. You're certainly not one of the Lord's. We don't make people who we are. We lead them to Jesus. What's the standard? Be ye therefore perfect. And I don't know about you, but I missed perfect a long time ago. So when we look at others, you know, we need to see what the Lord God himself sees. You know what he sees? He sees one that he was willing to send his son to die on a Roman's cross for that sin. Amen. It's done. This commitment devoted to Jesus is done through the study of the scripture, a commitment to the local church. We work through the local church. We will not work through a parachurch organization. We work through the church. Why? Because the church is that which God has established. And he said, what? Upon this rock, speaking of Jesus, but also speaking of church. You know how I know that? Because look what God called us to do. He left the church to be what? That place where we bring those in and we train those to make disciples. Make disciples. Make disciples. Commitment to the local church and direct involvement of mature believers in our lives. If you want to grow in Christ, you need 2, 3, or more friends. Men friends with men, women friends with women. Never cross that. There's a reason for that, because we're human beings. We're sinful. You need them to be willing to speak into your life. I've got a good friend back home, and he is our number one supporter. That's just what he does. God blessed him, and he blesses us. But now he and I meet, and he doesn't mind speaking the truth into me. Someone that's willing to look you dead in the eye and say, you're wrong. And you hopefully have sense enough to keep your mouth shut and listen. Those are valuable. You need to cultivate that. You need to have a BFF, a best friend forever. And I'm going to tell you something. You don't have to take two hands to count those. I guarantee you on that. Most of us can count them on one finger. And you know, I've had people say, well, what does that mean, best friend forever? To me now, I'm going to give you my flagpole mountain definition of that. Right there at the foot of Flagpole Mountain, big hill right in my front yard. Okay? That's someone that I could call at 2 a.m. on Saturday night and said, hey, I'm in Birmingham, in jail. I got arrested, and you fill it in. Put the worst thing you can think in there for child pornography. Whatever. Doesn't matter. And you know what he said? What's the address? How can I get there? Now, that's the friend that I'm talking about. You follow me? If you don't have one of those in your life, you need to get started. You need to get one. They're invaluable. They're worth more than cash money. I'm going to tell you that right up front. All right. All the nations. Now the Lord said to Abraham, I love this, to Abram, rather, get out of your country, from your family, from your father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be blessed. Some of us need to get out of our family. I'm sorry. If there's people in your life, in your family, that bring you down, you don't have to be ugly. You don't have to be ugly. But you need to understand and recognize if there's someone in your life, when you see that thing, ring, 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 or whatever dial tone you got now. Boy, I heard one the other day. I was going to the racetrack or something. What is that? Okay. But when you see that, you say, ooh, oh, no. Hello. Y'all understand what I'm talking about? Someone that just brings you down. Now, you pray for that individual. You don't just get out of their life, but don't let them do that. Someone, when you get through talking to them, you feel worse than you did before you talked to them. I mean, we need to think about that, church. You know what the enemy will do? The enemy will use them to bring you down. To bring you down. And you know, the most trouble I got into when I was in high school, teenager coming up, when I got off with my buddies. You know, I wonder why that is. Have you ever seen a group of young boys or girls, I guess. I don't know much about the girls, but I do know about the boys. Have you ever seen the best kid in the group bring them all up to his level? Don't happen. What happens? You bring them down. Bring them down. Parents, mamas and dads, pay attention to who your friends of your children are. They'll make them twice the hellion, as my daddy used to say, that they are. They will. They really will. They'll bring them down. And we need to think about that in the church, too. We need to mark those that cause dissension. Why? Because there's tares among the wheat. There's goats among the sheep. There's wolves in lamb's clothing. You mark those people. You really do. You pray for them. But don't let them bring you down. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the triune God, one God, three personal agents, Father, Son, Holy Spirit working together to do what? To bring salvation. The Holy Spirit will never battle against the Son. The Son will never battle against or be in opposition to the Father. Will not happen. They are one. The Father spoke the world into existence, created all things ex nihilo. Big word, what does it mean? Out of nothing. He spoke, boom, let there be light. He spoke, boom, let the days be in order, one to follow the other. Okay? What else did he do? Created Adam from the dust of the earth and Eve from Adam's rib. Sent them in the Garden of Eden to do what? To tend the garden. To tend the garden. The Son, Jesus, God's Son, sent to seek and to save that which was lost. Luke 19, mankind. What is mankind? He prayed to his Father in the garden and taught his disciples to do so. He gave himself freely to die on the cross as a sacrifice for the world. He filled it full. And he said on that cross, the Greek word is telestai. What does that mean? Paid in full. It's finished. He did it. All the sin of all the world for all the human beings and became the accepted sacrifice for the Father. Holy Spirit, third member of God, sent as the helper, the advocate, the ally, the paraclete, one that would stand beside you in a court of law. You know, I've never been to court but two or three times over the years. But I know one thing, if I had to go to court for whatever reason, I would sure want a good lawyer standing beside me. You follow what I'm saying? I want someone that knows the law and doesn't mind speaking and's got sense enough to speak up. That's what the Holy Spirit is. And when we feel the urgings of the Holy Spirit, we need to obey. And that's one thing we learn out in the field and hopefully in your life day to day. When the Holy Spirit speaks to you, do what He says do. And talking about that, you know what a successful witness is? A successful witness is speaking in the power of God and leaving the results up to God. When they reject you, if they do, and they will, they're rejecting Him. They're not rejecting you. Okay? And I love this, Acts 5:3. Peter said to lie to Him, the Holy Spirit, is the lie to God. To lie to Him is the lie to God. 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the age of the end. Amen. Teach all what is commanded. What? Scripture. Scripture. We teach Scripture. We don't teach denominational jargon. We teach the Word of God. We teach the Word of God. And you put the light of the Word of God on it, and if it doesn't stand up, don't walk out of the place. Run. Get gone. Because the Word of God is what we have. That's what we stand on. It's the truth. I am with you always. For He Himself has said, Hebrews 13, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is a comforting thought. Comforting thought. You know, a lot of times we put our trust in human beings. We get disappointed, don't we? A lot of times. Because we're trusting in the wrong thing. Trusting in the wrong thing. Even to the end of age, Matthew 13. Then Jesus sent the multitude away, went into the house. Disciples came to Him saying, explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. And He answered them, he who sows the good seed is the Son of the Man. The field is the Word. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom. The tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out His angels. They will gather out of the kingdom all things that offend those who practice lawlessness. In other words, that's His business. You don't need to get in His business. Let Him do His business. You do yours. And I will cast them into a furnace of fire, and there will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as a sun in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. If you want to shine forth in righteousness, obey the Word of God. Even to the end of the age. This is speaking of the day that the Lord returns for His bride. 2 Peter 3. The day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all things will be dissolved, what manner of person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for the hasting of the coming of the day, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, elements will melt with fervent heat. What manner of persons ought we to be? We should be in holy conduct and godliness. Obedient? What are we to do? Obey His great commission. The question is, and I approach to you now, have I been a faithful servant? Have I been a faithful servant? You know, Scripture's plain. Repentance is good for the heart and for the soul. And you know what we've got coming up next weekend? There's a lot of prayer being put in it. There's a lot of time going to be put in it. And there's a lot out there to be had for the kingdom of God. Because we don't go into these things and say, well, you know, maybe we'll have a good time. Maybe we'll do. Well, no, we don't do the maybe. Absolutely. We believe yes and amen. Because we know if we pray with God's heart, the things that's on God's heart, He will answer our prayers. I believe that. Now, we have to be faithful. We have to be diligent. We have to be committed, willing to study, willing to learn. And that's one good thing about teaching evangelism. Knowledge displaces fear. You know? I've heard brain surgery is pretty complicated. But they also say you do it a few hundred times, it gets a little easier. Okay? Did you know 95% of all Christians never share their faith? I'll say it again. 95% of all Christians never share their faith. Did you know less than 20% of all churches have any shape, form, or fashion of evangelism or outreach? They have none. Nothing. Being disobedient. The question is, have I been a faithful servant? The other question I got to ask you is, was there ever a time when you were closer to our Lord than now? And if so, who moved? Did God move? I don't think so. He said, what, I am the same today, forever, ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever, and His kingdom will never come to an end. I'm calling you this morning, if you feel like you need to come to this altar, the altar's open. I want you to understand, my heart's desire is to see the 40,000 unchurched here in your county. We want to see them be given an opportunity. And you know, God's got us right here and where we are today for a reason. And that's to be His witness. Not only in Jerusalem, but in Samaria, Judea, and all over the world. If you're here this morning and you feel like you need to confess, the altar's open. Brother Denny, we're going to do a... The other thing is this. If you say, I don't know the Lord. I don't know of a time when I ever asked the Lord Jesus Christ to come into my heart. Please understand this. My desire and my goal, I'm not up here shadow boxing. I'm not up here just bumping my gums. I'm not interested in that. What I want to know is if the Lord Jesus Christ is tugging through the Holy Spirit at your heart, don't deny Him. Don't deny Him. Because the tomorrow is never promised to any of us. Think about this. Thousands got up this morning not knowing that today is the last day they'd be on this earth. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just speaking the truth. And this COVID thing, I lost two brothers in less than 30 days. One died. He was out in his field working, out there with his cows, fooling with his cows. The next day he's in the hospital. 2 days later, he's on a ventilator. 20 days later, he's dead. My other brother contracted it. It went to his brain. I'd never heard of that. And he's like about a 5 or 6 year old right now. I was with him last weekend, and we were sitting on his front porch. The house that he built, he said, do you know where my house is? I said, yeah, I think we're sitting in it. He said, no, this is not my house. Rode him around in his car. He said, man, this is a nice car. I said, Tommy, this is your car. Well, I sure would like to have one like this. You know what? He didn't know it was going to happen. We didn't either. But our time's short. It really is. If you don't know the Lord, I'd ask you to come. If you're a Christian, you know that you know that you know, but you also know that you're not exactly where you need to be. This is where the business of God is done in God's house with God's people.